For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, I want to remind you that this is written to the church at Ephesus, that this is written to believers. And all the New Testament passages, after all the way from seemingly from Acts on, or maybe Romans on for sure, it seems like all of them that deal with wicked forces are always pointed to the believers. So that's what we're talking about here tonight. So let's bow our heads and let's ask God to bless the things that we're going to say here this evening. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, believing, Lord, that you founded this nation on biblical principles. And it seemed like, as we have studied the history of this country, on more than one occasion, your providential hand was seemingly in almost everything that happened when this country was founded. Now we have come forward nearly 250 years, and the direction of our nation is not good. And so I pray that you would wake us up, and that we would see, and that we would be... I'm going to begin tonight by reading a few articles, just so you can kind of get a feel of where we are in our country today. This one here, I thought I'd read it just to make your day. This is an article on the Rochester City Schools, and they made this following statement recently. Mike, would you walk in and tell those guys to be quiet? Some of the guys around here, me included, we're just loud. You know, we are just loud. That's what we are. Let me read this. This is from the Rochester City Schools. We are pleased to announce that our district will observe Friday, February 17th, as Black Lives Matter at school, a day of understanding and affirmation. The Rochester Board of Education, Rochester Teachers Association, Association of Supervisors and Administrators of Rochester recently passed resolutions to proclaim this day. The resolutions state that schools should be places for the practice of equity, for the building of understanding, and for the active engagement of all in creating pathways to freedom and justice for all people. But by calling the event Black Lives Matters at school, and by allowing a group calling itself BLM Rochester Activists, the schools will be stirring up a racial strife. That is a bad direction. The New York State Assembly passed a law, New York State Liberty Act, now that it passed in the Assembly. The bill would make New York State a sanctuary state. It is unlikely that the bill will pass the Senate, but it did pass the Assembly. And a lot of times, once something starts to pass the Assembly, after a while, it passes the Senate. Now, I am in favor, by the way, they call they say the Muslim band. It's not a band on anybody. All they're doing is vetting people and holding them at the borders to make sure they can come in. So there is no such thing as a Muslim band. There's no such thing as a band on any seven nations. That is another lie of the media that they've made up, and unfortunately people buy into it. And the truth is 85% of all the Muslims in the world are completely unaffected by it. The biggest Muslim country in the world is Indonesia. And they're not even mentioned on that list of the seven. So it starts out with a bad thing all the way. But I don't want anybody to come into the state of New York, regardless of their background or regardless of their track record and the criminal acts that they may have or may not done, and come in here and just, I think it's bad. The Assembly also passed the DREAM Act, which advanced educational opportunities. This will make you taxpayers happy. For children of immigrants, by eliminating potential financial obstacles to obtaining state financial aid for undocumented students seeking to attend institutions of higher education. Why in the world should I, as a taxpayer, pay for illegals to go to schools of higher education? That doesn't even make sense to me. Now, this one, so that one there I thought I'd read to make your day. This one here is just, it's bizarre. It starts out and it says, despite President Trump's attack on transgender students at the federal level, New York districts have independent duties to protect these students from discrimination and harassment. Now listen to what some of this says. The Trump administration decision to rescind this guidance sends a dangerous and divisive message and threatens some of our most vulnerable young people. Attorney General, I can't say his last name, said, but in New York State, the law remains the law, and school districts have independent duties to protect transgender students from discrimination and harassment when they go to school. My office will use all of its existing tools of federal, state, and local law to ensure that the transgender kids are safe in their schools and are provided equal access to all programming and facilities consistent with their gender identity. Not what they are, but what they identify themselves as. Our most sacred duty as parents, educators, and leaders of state agencies is to protect all of our children in our care, said State Educator Commissioner Mary Ellen Ella. Transgender youth are valued members of our schools and communities across New York State. Yet statistics show that more than half of them will attempt suicide at least once by their 20th birthday. So we must do everything in our power to create learning environments that are safe and welcoming for all. That has nothing to do with why they try to commit suicide. The guidance we have developed with Attorney General's and our partners underscores the value we place on respecting all students and indeed all people. So then you have to ask yourself, what exactly is a safe and welcoming learning center? One where our kids are free to use whichever restroom or whichever shower they choose to use. Now, some insight may have been given by the governor's brother, Chris. Now, I don't listen to CNN very often, but I actually was listening to it the day he said this. Sometimes I listen to it just to get, you know, my feathers up. Anyway, here's what Chris Cuomo said, who was one of the news hosts on CNN. He was asked, what would you tell your 12-year-old girl that did not want to see a boy's private parts in the shower room? And Mr. Cuomo replied this, I wonder if she is the problem. I wonder if she is the problem or her overprotective dad is the problem. Now, these are like bizarre. And then he said this, teach tolerance. How many of you saw that on the news? I can't be the only one. Okay, not very many, though. She saw it. I hope he saw it. Bizarre. Just bizarre stuff. Now, let me get more into what I want to say tonight. We've been studying spiritual warfare in Sunday school in the adult class. But this is something. And I put some of this in the bulletin this morning. Witches to cast a spell on Donald Trump. And so somebody wrote this. It's not just a political battle anymore. It's spiritual warfare. Exorcists, witches, and occultists in a number of magical groups are announcing plans for a ritual designed to bind Donald Trump and all who abet with him. It's to happen Friday at midnight at a variety of locations across the nation and again every month until Donald Trump is no longer in office. The rite, requiring a stub of a candle, a pin, salt, matches, a tarot card, a feather, and other odds and ends, call on spirits to ensure President Trump will fall utterly. It also includes burning a picture of the commander-in-chief, visualizing him blowing apart into dust or ash. Among the various spirits invoked are the demons of the infernal realms. You can check that out if you want further information on that. Also on Facebook, there is a Facebook page called A Spell to Bind Donald Trump. It has nearly 5,000 followers. The group's goal, quote, a mass ritual performed at midnight on every waning moon until Donald Trump is removed from office. Now, for some of you, your first reaction to that story might be, say, that's just bizarre. That's not bizarre. I'm telling you that we are in a serious spiritual battle. And the souls of our nation and the people in this nation are involved in this battle. Pastor Carl Gallups wrote, When the Lion Roars, he gave a summary of the situation He said this, America's born-again believers should cover President Trump in prayer. It is obvious that the democratic realm is stirred by his the demonic realm is stirred by his presence. It's also obvious that the Antichrist agenda of the globalist community is going berserk over a Trump presidency. These are simply signs to those of us who know God's word that President Trump is being used by the Lord in these prophetic times. Pray for him, pray for our nation, and then get on with the work of the kingdom. Now, I hope you understand that we are really in a spiritual battle, that this is pretty serious stuff today. The other night, we heard the president's first speech given to Congress. In the conservative world, in the United States, in the United States, and especially, hey, some of these people got their heads in space in this country anymore, so that's not way off. But especially the evangelical community, we were rejoicing. Everybody that I have talked to that's a believer said that was one of the best speeches they've ever heard. Not just, it was by far the best speech Trump ever gave, that wasn't even close, but it was by one of the best speeches that any president ever gave. Now, some of that's because we have a new political leadership that is more in line with our biblical values than we have had in the past. However, the previous administration was accepted by a great number of Americans, and beyond that, global leadership as well. Now, it was politically, economically, spiritually, and morally liberal and corrupt. It was just corrupt. Now, I mentioned the economy. I won't say much about that tonight, but I will tell you the economy of this nation is in a lot worse shape than a lot of people realize. I mean, it is bad. It supported the New World Order agenda, and it was forcing America into that mold successfully. The new administration is not promoting a global agenda. In fact, they have made, and primarily Mr. Trump has made a promise, and you've heard it said a gazillion times, let's make America great again. But that does not fit the globalist. Now, this conservative and nationalistic approach to the government in Washington is now out of step with most of the world. And they were very vocal, liberal, socialists, and there's a lot of them that are in America. Now, I've read some of these articles, and I was going to read some more, but I won't read any more. But I'm telling you that there is a real battle. By the way, I forgot to mention, there's a school in New Jersey that recently, I just read this article within the last 2 weeks, that they taught all their students the five tenets is Islam. But you can't teach Christianity. Now, there's something seriously wrong with our country. So, we are in a battle for America. The battle could shape our world for the end time events that lie ahead. What the true church does and how the true church of Jesus Christ reacts will be critical. The truth is, only Jesus Christ can make America great again. But God does use human instruments. If we view our nation and our world from God's eternal perspective, we'll better understand the battle for the soul of America. Now, the Bible teaches us that when the end of the ages comes, all nations, and I hate to say this, but this is true, even the United States will join forces of the Antichrist in a war against Israel. Now, for those of you that are jotting down references, you look at Zechariah 14:2 and Joel chapter 3 and verse 2 and Revelation chapter 13 and verse 7, and you'll find that to be true. It really does not matter if America will be deceived by Satan. It's a matter of when America will be deceived by Satan. Now, you've heard this phrase before, so I'll use it. I really don't want it to be on my watch. There is a raging war on earth between God and the devil. A very critical part of that battle involves America and the nation of Israel. Now, when the end comes, evidently we abandon Israel. Now, the former president really helped to set that up. You all know of the deal that he made with Iran. It couldn't have been a worse deal if he'd have tried. To give them everything that they need and money on top of it to the tune of $1.7 billion equips them to have everything they need to destroy the nation of Israel off the face of the earth. Beyond that, this was the moment that I was more embarrassed to be an American than any time in my life. Benjamin Netanyahu, they call him Bibi in Israel, but we know him as their prime minister, the president of the United States, didn't even go to a speech. How pathetic was that? Nor did the vice president, nor did anybody in his cabinet. That was disgusting. Now, I think that really showed where that current administration was with the nation of Israel. We may get a reprieve under President Trump, but listen, and this is the purpose of this message, we may not. You say, why do you say that? I'll say it now, then I'll try to fill in the blanks. Because Mr. Trump isn't a globalist. And the globalists want to destroy the nation of Israel. And so if we don't go along with their agenda, they may not want to be friendly to us. And that not ought to shock you. Now, one of two things will have to happen with this president or the next president. It won't make any difference. You're either going to stand with Israel or they're not. If you stand with Israel, you don't fit the global agenda, the annihilation of the Jews. And if you don't stand with Israel, you're standing against God. Now, I would rather stand with God and take my chances. But I fear that there will be some, and in the Christian realm, that won't. So I mentioned this in Sunday school. There is a preacher, and I'm going to warn you about him. He is on the internet, and he is extremely successful at reaching people 40 years of age and under. A mass following, huge following. His name is Stephen Anderson. You will listen to him, and you'll hear him say a lot of things that you will flat out agree with. But you will find out that he is not pro-Israel. He believes in replacement theology, that the fact is that the church replaced Israel, and Israel is no longer important in God's program. You will also find that I talked to a young man who's leaving the state of New York to go be part of this organization, which is amazing how that's happening. And he'll come right out and tell you. And they're almost people of hate. I just hate them. That's what he'll say about transgenders. I mentioned this in Sunday school. Some of you aren't in my class. And it's just amazing how this is. So what you're going to have is you're going to have a large following of Bible believers who are anti-Israel. And now you're going to be fighting. I hope you're pro-Israel. I am. You're going to be standing against them. You're going to be standing against the globalists. And you've got a real battle on your hands. You know that? So I'm not trying to scare anybody, but I'm trying to get you to, don't be shocked if things don't go as smooth as you think they might go. Now, I don't want you to be shocked. The other thing I don't want you to do is this. Don't give in to compromise. Well, you know what? It's just easier to fit in and go along with the crowd. That's always true. But that's not always necessarily the right thing to do. So you're going to have to make a decision in some of these things. And that really is the church's temptation. Will they compromise, go with the crowd, fit in with the globalist, fit in with the group of Christians who are turning anti-Israel, anti-Semitic, or will you stay true to the Word of God? Now, the truth is, the battle for America has been going on for decades. And as believers in Jesus Christ, it's important that we understand what is happening and respond as those who are not deceived by the spiritual darkness that permeates the world around us. So, I'll say it again. Don't be shocked as to what might happen. As in the days of Jehoshaphat of Judah, we are facing pretty difficult odds. God's Word says in 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 15, "Thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but the Lord's." David Kaplan wrote, "The Marketing of Evil," in it he demonstrated that since the 60s, America has been targeted by evil men and an evil agenda. Their agenda is to change the very soul of America, and you've heard this quoted more in the last few years than any time before that in Christianity, but their goal is to make evil good and good evil. And so he showed a chart in this book that showed how America has been spiritually transformed right before our eyes. And he broke it up into three columns, so you can kind of make a picture in your mind of that. And he said the old America, the transformation, and then the new America. The old America he had prior to 1960. The transformation period he had between the 60s and the 80s, and the new America he had from 1990s and forward. Prior to the 60s, America accepted the Bible. The Bible was accepted. But some of you have heard about the hippie generation and all that. Between the 60s and the 80s, the Bible was questioned. In theology terms, we called it days of modernism. Then we went to postmodernism. And now, 90s and on, the Bible is rejected. So it started out, it was accepted. It was founding. It was part of the foundation of this country. You read great historians, Edgemere and Johnson and Blackstone, if you want to read all of his legal books as well. But there's some you can read that is just full of Bible. Without question, the Bible was part of the founding of this nation. And then it got questioned in modernistic days, and then now it's rejected. Before the 60s, our country was exclusively Christian. Now, I would like to challenge some. I would really like to after I've done quite a bit of research. And I realize we've had free religion in America, but the free religion never allowed you to come in and kill people and blow people up. You are to assimilate into this country or leave and go home. And I don't have any problem with telling them that. Anyway, we were exclusively Christian. Then in the 60s, the New Age movement was introduced. And then from the 90s on, there is a major rejection of Christianity, and all of our rights and freedoms are being taken away and taken away and taken away. Prior to the 60s, there was moral absolutes. This was absolutely right, and that was absolutely wrong. Then in the 60s and 70s and 80s, we'll call it moral confusion. People didn't even know what sex they were. They couldn't look in a mirror and figure it out. So there was all this confusion. And now we live in a day where there's moral relativism. That is, if you're a woman, but you think you're a guy, you're actually a guy. It's relativistic to anything that you say you are, that's what you are. Now, by the way, there are churches buying into that as well. I talked to a pastor. I was going up to the hospitals the other Friday to visit some people, and I talked to a preacher that day a little bit, and then he said something, so I called him back Saturday morning. And he was telling me about some fundamental Baptist churches, two of them he named, with the pastors who I know of. I don't know them. But they are buying into this idea that people are born homosexual. But if they don't act it out, then it's not a sin. What's that saying is, if you're born a woman in a man's body, you're really that way. I don't buy that at all. That's saying God made a mistake. I didn't make a mistake. But we have this moral relativism that's being bought into by believers. Then, in 1960, we had a biblical marriage, a man and a woman, and they had a home, children. And then in the 60s through the 80s, there was the challenging of marriage in the home, and from the 1900s on, now we have the destruction of the marriage in the home. In the old America, before the 60s, it was a time of spiritual light. There were churches springing up, and there was revival and churches growing, and there was good times. But from the 60s to the 80s, there was a time of spiritual sunset, when the sun was setting down on the spiritual temperature of America. And then from the 90s on, there's a time of spiritual darkness. And you and I live in that time. Spiritually, America is dark. I think it was the same author that said, in the 60 years we have gone from a nation unified by traditional Judeo-Christian values to one on which those same values are increasingly scorned, rejected, and demonized. That's true. America has been living in a spiritual darkness now for decades. Those who are enjoying the corner of darkness do not want the light of truth turned back on them, expressing their shame and guilt. As Jesus said, men love darkness rather than light. Now, it is very possible that while Mr. Trump could help lead us back to the path of biblical conservatism, moral values, is also leading us into one of the greatest political, spiritual, and moral battles we've ever had in our nation. And you ought to be aware of that, and you ought not to be shocked by that. So let me say, you can't give up, you can't get discouraged, and you better be on guard, be not weary in well-doing, because the battles are here. I also think this could be the final opportunity for believers to make a difference. The stakes in this battle, in case you don't know, are very high. When America falls to the political and spiritual forces of evil and joins in the growing socialistic Islamic agenda, our world will be radically changed, and the America that you know even right now will no longer exist. So what we need to do is attempt to delay this for the glory of God and for the souls of men. That's what we need to do. Now, I said morally, same-sex marriage. You think about this. Same-sex marriage, transgender, in the bathroom bill have all happened within just the past few years. It's bizarre. I said politically, one half of the nation wants socialism. Bernie got votes. He's an outspoken socialist. I can't imagine any American would vote for him. They didn't have much of a choice, so I guess some of them felt that way. Then there's the Islamic agenda. Then I mentioned the school system in New Jersey and all the other thing. The battle is raging on earth. It's a reflection of the conflict in the spiritual realm between God and Satan. And I hope you see that. In order to enter into this battle, it is the Church of Jesus Christ that must realize that we are the only ones who can fight. And so Ephesians 6:12 said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But here's where the battle is. Against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. If the church does not wake up and seek the face of God and stand up for him in the battle for America, this country will fail and this country will fall. Some of you are going to say, because you know prophecy, America's going to fall anyway. That's true. But the Lord expects us to enter into the battle for the souls of men. The majority of sinners are going to die. They're going to be eternally lost. But the Lord expects us to enter into spiritual conflict for his glory and for the spiritual value of in the salvation of a few. Now, as we battle Satan and the evil forces, let's understand how he weakens and deceives the nations in his war against God. Now, for sake of time, and this is not a short message and hasn't been a short introduction either, but it's not a short message. Isaiah 14:12, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 3, how does the enemy deceive nations? Well, let's look at it this way. God has given four major institutions that he uses to build nations for his glory. It is Satan's objective is to destroy these four institutions in his war against God. What are the four institutions? The first one, marriage and the home. Satan is attacking marriage and the home. Marriage is the building block of society. It's God's institution to create and maintain the nation, marriage and the family. The spiritual and physical union of the marriage of a man and a woman, and then as they reproduce, it's been given the divine model for blessing and maintaining all societies from the very beginning. And for the first 200 years in America, that fact was never debated, it was never denied, it was never questioned. I remember talking to my dad years ago and saying, Dad, I can see one day when people of the same sex are going to get married. And he laughed at me. He said, That'll never possibly happen. And then it happened. He's like, I can't believe that actually happened. There are evil agents. They have been destroying America, and they are determined to demolish the sanctity of marriage in the role of the husband and wife and their authority in the home. And by the way, some of you work in public schools. God bless you. You are light in dark places, and you ought to stay there, and you ought to do your best to be light there. But I'm going to tell you something. I would never put my kid in a public school today. The stories that I've heard, the books and the literature that these kids are asked to read is bizarre, and I mean bizarre. Recently, we have witnessed the approval of this agenda within the Supreme Court, within the White House, which means the spiritual enemies of America have infiltrated the highest political offices in the nation. And at the very center of Satan's target is to destroy the children of America. July 2015, there was a 9-foot-tall bronze statue of Satan. Maybe you remember this or seen a picture of this. And it was unveiled in Detroit, Michigan. And on this statue, on either side, there is a boy and a girl, and they're standing looking right into the face of Satan. That's part of what they really are pushing, which is absolutely disgusting. Lenin, a leader of the communism, said a century ago, "Give me just one generation of youth, and I'll transform the whole world." They also said, I don't remember if it was him or Stalin, but one of them said, "We will never have to destroy America from without. America will destroy itself from within." And that's working. Our public school systems are anti-God, they're anti-Christ, they're anti-Bible, they're anti-church, with one exception, Islam, and they're anti-family. Thank God for the good, godly individuals who are there. But the system is pathetic. They have successfully replaced the Bible and its moral values that guided this nation for 200 years with the moral value system. Islam has been favored over Christianity. In fact, the Christianity is even under attack. Universities are full of professors who are socialistic and communistic, and they have been very successful in brainwashing our youth to hate America and everything good that made this country great. It's amazing. An awful lot of our churches have not been serious about teaching children the Bible, and they need to be more than entertained in a church service. You know, that's if we're going to win America back. Several years ago, probably 10 or 12 years ago, I was looking at Vacation Bible School material. If you want to know why we wrote all of our own lessons and did all of our own stuff in Vacation Bible School, do you know what I found out when I looked at all this Vacation Bible School material? You know what was missing? The Bible. Was there any Bible in it? It was all fun and games and all this other stuff. And so I said, you know what we ought to do? The second reason it saves us a lot of money, okay? But I said, we need to write our own material. And it needs to be Bible-based. And so a bunch of people here in the church got together and we came up with a 5-year curriculum. And we taught through it. I think maybe we're on our second time through, or maybe we've done it twice and going to start the third time. But it's been around 8 or 10 years. Because we were looking for something that had Bible in it. Vacation Bible School. You know, but our churches have bought into this. We should do our best to be sure our kids get a biblical education. I tried to challenge our teenagers Friday morning to go to a Bible college for at least 1 year. Now, some probably will and others probably won't, but I think it'd be very wise if they did. Our world has lost its moral compass. The saints of God need to be an example of God's truth, and our kids need to go beyond being good kids. You've heard me say this before. They need to be godly kids. Second institution is government. Government is the secular aim of God's rule, or God's secular instruction to the nation, the governments. Now, God ordained and designed government after the flood with one rule. If somebody murders somebody, he gets killed. That was government. That was it. Genesis 9:6. Then he's designed that government promote his laws and maintain peace. 1 Timothy 2:2. Now the Bible teaches that they are rulers of God on earth to promote good and punish the wicked. Now let me ask you, how are they doing? Yeah, laugh. That's right. You might as well. They're not doing very good. Now historically, America has been blessed because this nation was founded upon the Bible and godly principles. They're laughed at today. And they're called archaic. I have heard on 2 or 3 different occasions on the news, referring to our Constitution and our Declaration, those archaic documents. Now, if you rewrite the Constitution, change the name, don't call this the United States of America any longer, because it won't be. But that's what they call.
That was mentioned more than once during the recent election. George Washington said it is impossible to rightly govern a nation without God and the Bible, especially our form of government. It doesn't work. Psalms 33:12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." In the past several years, our government has divorced itself from God and from his world. In our Sunday school class, we watched a movie called Agenda. If you didn't get a chance to see it, I suggest you do. There is also Agenda 2 you can watch and another one called Enemies from Within. But the election of President Trump has not canceled that agenda. And don't be fooled and think it has. America is being led on a political path that leads to demonic socialism. And that particular form of government has proven to be evil. In fact, it's been called the brainchild of atheists. Power, hungry, dictators, ultimately it leads to communism. Now, I think God was merciful in allowing Mr. Trump to be elected and has given America a chance to turn away from the dangerous political path that it's been following for decades. But we need to pray for him, and we need to join in the battle for America. Now, the third institution is Israel. Israel is God's light to the nation, and it's his divine signs to all the nations. Over 4,000 years ago, God told Abraham, "I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curses thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." And so Israel became a light to the nation. It gave us our Bibles, and it gave us our Savior. When the end of the ages comes, it will be the future final battle between God and Satan, and at the center of that battle is God's sign to the nation of Israel. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 3 says, "For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people, Israel and Judah, said the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it." And I'm telling you, they are returning to that land today. But the nation who opposed God's word are not reading the signs of Israel. In Genesis chapter 13 and verse 15, the Bible talks about this will be your land forever. So the church never replaced them. Now let me say something, and listen closely if you don't know this. The United Nations Security Council passed Resolution 2334 that declares all Israel occupation of the West Bank, that's biblically Judea and Samaria, and East Jerusalem, illegal. Now, if you look in the back of your Bible and you look at a map and you'll see the Sea of Galilee, I believe, and you'll see the Dead Sea. It might say the Sea of Tiberias. But anyway, you'll see the Galilee and the Dead Sea, and you'll see a river. That's the Jordan River. And on the west bank of the Jordan River is that area that they're talking about, the west bank of the Jordan River. They said that's illegal. Now, if you follow along that river, and you go inland just a little ways, if you find Jericho and go to your left, you know what country, city you come across? Jerusalem. And they really don't believe that the Jews ought to be there. The nations are saying that this land belongs to the Palestinians. For your information, the Palestinians have never been a nation. Thus, they won't recognize the right to the Jews to live in the land that God promised them. Now, the United States is a permanent member of this council, and they could have voted no on this resolution. But President Obama and his administration actually helped in the creation of it. And you know what they voted? They didn't vote. They restrained from voting. They could have voted no, but they didn't. They didn't vote. A no vote, in this case, is no different than a yes vote. But that's what they voted. That they turned Israel over to her enemies, who are absolutely sworn to the annihilation of Israel. Now, while the new administration has promised to be a true friend of Israel that will not stop the demons of hell to give up their attempt to destroy Israel. Now, here's the result, and I'm going to come back to my warning. President Trump and those who support him, we're going to find ourselves at odds with the world. If We stay faithful to Israel, and we should stay faithful to Israel. But the easy way out is to abandon them. But I don't think that's an option. So don't be shocked. And don't stop standing for Israel. God will defend his nation when all the other nations turn against her. Zechariah said, "And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem." And when you read in Daniel chapter 9 and Daniel's great prophecy, it talked about my people and my land. The nations of the world are headed for a confrontation with God Almighty. United Nations Resolution 2334 is hastening the day when that shall happen. And I will tell you something, America better set its house in order. You need to stand with God and you need to enjoy her blessings or agree with the evil agenda of our day and invite judgment. Now, you've heard me say this before. This year was no different. When I vote for a president or anybody on a federal level, where do they stand with Israel? That's always number one. The fourth institution is the church. The church is God's ambassador to the nation. Now, these four institutions that I mentioned, these are the institutions that Satan is trying to attack and destroy. Mike Winfield wrote, "The church in America needs to fall on its face and repent. We are far away from God." He's right. "We are so focused upon ourselves and our immediate needs and struggles that we are completely out of touch with the eternal purposes of God. The church is more concerned about felt needs than the final struggle between heaven and hell. The church is more concerned about pleasing men and identifying with the counsel of God's will. Consequently, the American culture has changed the church. Rather, the church changing the American culture. In recent decades, the church in America has been part of the problem rather than part of the solution in turning the hearts back toward a holy God." Isn't that sad? "Most American pastors and professing believers are oblivious to the battle for America. They are so biblically illiterate that they are walking in spiritual darkness. That's why Mr. Anderson can attract so many people. They are biblically illiterate. And they are going to tell you they take the Bible." I've talked to some of them. They're going to tell you they take the Bible literally. No, they don't. If you say, "Well, what's it say?" Well, and then they stumble. But they are so convinced that he's right. They're biblically illiterate that they are walking in spiritual darkness. The Bible is God's beacon of light to shine in the darkness to expose sin and deception. The Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Too many Christians know how to talk the talk. They quote this verse and they say they believe it. However, actions speak louder than words, and we must act upon what we really believe. If we really believe that the Bible is God's light, then we will be driven to make Bible study a vital part of our daily lives. As believers, we are called to be his ambassadors in a dark and an evil world. And I would suggest to you, unless your blinders are on, that you are living in a dark and evil world. Church, the new president can't make America great again. I admire his desire. I loved his speech the other night. It brought tears to my eyes on at least two occasions. I was wound right up after it. And he's had a commitment to bless America. It was actually refreshing to hear that. You know what he didn't do? He didn't get up and apologize to all the other nations for America. That in itself was a blessing. Our biggest problem is not economic. Our economy's terrible. I'm sorry, it's worse than anybody wants to know. America is dying. Our major problem is spiritual in nature. And we need to turn back to what made us great. There was an acceptance of the biblical role of marriage, the home, where biblical values were honored and promoted. We need churches who will proclaim and promote the Word of God. We need Christians to be ambassadors. We need to pray for revival. God's people. So, we actually have a decision in this battle. I'll come back to Israel just for a moment because that is going to be the center. You can stand for Israel and have the world stand against you, or you can stand against Israel and join in with the rest of the world.
Now, to me, it's a pretty simple decision and a pretty simple choice. However, the consequence, I'm just warning you, the consequences might not be a box of chocolates. Now, I expect to stand where I've stood with Israel for however long I've been standing with Israel. But I just want us to realize that we're in a battle and we're ambassadors. And we need to get out there and win as many people to Christ as we possibly can. I said the president can't change America and make America great again, but Jesus can. And if people would learn and know Jesus, it'd make all the difference in the world. Now take that challenge. Get out there and try to win somebody to Christ and do something for this country. It'll be a blessing to you and your kids and your grandkids, and I have no idea how long it'll be before the Lord comes. Quite honestly, it wouldn't bother me if he came back before I got home from church tonight. But nobody knows that. So let's wake up. Let's realize we're in a battle. Let's seriously pray for our president. And let's live a godly life. Let's try to keep our families and marriages strong. Let's try our best to keep the church strong, to stand with Israel. And those of you that work in a wicked environment, public schools, public universities are terrible. I mean, I get the stories from the kids, and they're interesting stories, but my goodness, they live in the midst of some pretty ungodly happenings. It's just bizarre, the stories I get from the college kids. Anyways, let's pray. I guess I've spoken long enough. Father, I pray you wake us up. The church, Faith, would you come to the piano? The church needs revival. God's people need to take a stand. They need to make a commitment, a decision, a determination. They're not going to compromise. They're going to stay where the Bible says we're supposed to stay. We're going to try to reach people for Christ. Only he can change people's hearts and minds. And so we need to stand for a once great, godly Christian nation. And I pray, as we look at the founding of this nation, that you would raise up another generation of godly people that will be compassionate for your word, for truth, for godliness. And they'll take a stand and they'll stand with you regardless of the results or the outcome. We could have said more about Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. They never caved in to the desires of the government. They did what they knew was the right thing to do. We got to stand like they did. And I pray that people will make that decision and that determination here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. With faith placed, with every head bowed and with every eye closed, you ought to pray for revival.